Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. It's a wonderful Lord's Day, and it's just a great blessing to be here this morning with you. What a great encouragement it is. If I said, let's go on a journey, what is the first thing you think about? Some might think of a journey as a physical journey, a trip from point A to point B over an extended period of time. It may often have a purpose such as for leisure, educational, or it may be out of necessity such as moving to a new location. Even Paul's missionary journeys are a type of a physical journey one can take. Another type of journey that we may think of is this journey called life. The choices we make during this journey will have an impact on our quality of life, our worldview, and our clout factor. Do you know that there is a marketing tool used by businesses which has an algorithm based on where you shop, the brands that you buy, and how many friends you have on media, etc. And this clout factor determines how much influence you have on others. Shape and influences also have an impact on us. Shape and influences are things that happen to us in life. These may be negative, or they may be positive. They shape who we are, such as your talents. You may be very athletic, highly intelligent, very artistic. The family you are born into, and the way you are raised, the religion you are taught, the friends you pick, your health. You may have good health, you may have poor health. A trauma you may experience. Unlike the physical journey, our life's journey is not a choice. Everyone is on a life's journey, from the youngest to the oldest. And because each of us has different shape and influences and different goals, our life journey is uniquely different from one another. The result will be that we live in different areas, have different size homes, and different types of jobs, etc., and so on. The third and most important journey, and the one that I want to speak to you about today, is our spiritual journey. If you will, turn with me to Matthew 7, 13 through 29. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came up, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. I'm going to focus now on what is our spiritual journey. We don't have a choice whether or not we're going to partake in this journey. Each of us will, and we are responsible for each step of it when we reach the age of accountability. Although we might not have a choice of traveling on this spiritual journey, we do have a choice on which path we will take. This journey is unique in several ways. First, we recognize in verse 24 that those who hear these sayings and does them is like the wise man who built their house or their life on the rock. And no matter what storm of life presses against it, it will stand because its foundation is on the rock. We know that getting a solid foundation to anything we build is essential for its fortitude. That's why it is essential that we build our lives on a solid foundation. That is Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, and we must have a strong foundation that is built on the rock as the wise men did. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed now he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:11, we find Peter and John speaking to the Sanhedrin council, the elders and the scribes, and they tell them, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is a salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Having Jesus as our foundation means we have a personal relationship with him. What does that mean? It means understanding Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:21 talks about this. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and a folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, that is those that choose the narrow way, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As we have come to understand we are no longer living for self, but for Christ, we begin to serve him and train our consciences on how to please him in our service. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because I think it's applicable to my point. For many years, I worked in a salvage store. And one day, an elderly war veteran came into the store with his grandson. And he tells his grandson that he can have anything he wants. Now, this store was full of everything. Full of electronic games like old Nintendo and Sega games, Sega Genesis. And it was full of any toy you could imagine. The old grandfather stays up the front of the store with me because I'm running the cash register while his grandchild meanders through the aisles to find this special gift. In several minutes later, he returns and he proudly holds out what he wants. To my surprise, it's an American flag. This grizzly old war veteran gets a huge smile and his face, he is so pleased. And his grandson could have had anything he wanted. But what he wanted most was to please his granddad. I think about this attitude. We should have a personal relationship with Christ. Does it make us happy to please him as much as it did for the grandson to please his grandfather? As we serve our Creator, our service needs to be one of honor and love out of a pure heart. It's not just about going through the motions, but rather having a full devotion to God. Wrong motives separate us from God and causes a broken relationship with him. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. If I speak in the tongues of men, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. When we have the proper relationship with Christ, conforming our way to his and crucifying ourselves to him, it will make a priority change in us. What we once thought was important in our journey now has little or no value. The things that once had clout factor now become instruments of righteousness, as we can read about that in Romans 6:13. It's now Christ who lives in us. We can't miss this narrow path and the influence we can have on others to join us. The reward is too great. If you were to ask people which path is best to take, I believe most would say the narrow way. However, when you look at their lives and see the fruits of it, most often it seems if their lack of commitment and conviction for the Lord is not there, and their choices have put them on the Broadway of life. You see, it's not determined on how you answer the question, but on how you respond. How you respond to the Lord, it will reflect in your willingness to submit to Him. Oftentimes we reject the Word because we are so easily distracted by the conveniences we enjoy. Or loving our current statuses in life. And loving the world more than serving Christ. We all must be aware that we don't become like hypocrites, spoken of in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doing. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, there shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask of him. Now back to 7:21 in our text. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There will be those who appear to be religious, but their worship is in vain. Rituals, to be seen of men, seeking the glory of man and not God. We may ask ourselves, how can we stay on a path so narrow in a world so broad, especially when we are imperfect people? God knows we are imperfect too. He made us that way. He also made us to have intellect and allowed us choice. But God did not leave us in a state of fluctuation where we can never be sure if we are pleasing Him enough. He offered us grace and mercy and love and kindness to make heaven attainable for us. When I was first introduced to the gospel, I understood the plan of salvation and what a beautiful plan it is. But it was hard for me to find peace with how someone like myself, someone with flaws, could never get it right for this awesome God above. Titus 2, 11 through 14 tells us how. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possessions who are zealous for good works. You see, his grace covers our flaws. When we deny ungodliness and worldly lust and strive to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Finally, I know the narrow way is the least popular and the most difficult way, and that is why few will choose it. But we have to realize that the blessings far outweigh the hardships of taking that narrow way. I will not go into a lesson to name all those blessings. I will not, but I will read a portion of scripture we refer to as the Beatitudes to remind us of how blessed we can be, starting in Matthew 5:11. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile against you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We also may ask, how do we stay on the narrow path when it gets so hard and we get so worn out? And we get so tired. First, we can find encouragement as we look back and think about Jesus' sacrifice. The sacrifice as he died on the cross for us. How much love he has for us. And how, knowing that, he gives us courage and it gives us strength to continue moving forward, to keep on keeping on, and keep our eyes on the prize, that prize, Jesus, and recognizing and waiting for that day he will come again. You know, when we took the Lord's Supper this morning and every Lord's Day, we proclaim this. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Second, we want to have a faith, as in the heroes of faith, like Abraham, knowing that their reward was ahead of them. Hebrews 11:16 and verse 28. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Third, we must persevere through all storms of life that will come our way and try to knock us off the path. We find out how to do this as we study the New Testament, learning how to walk with confidence on our journey. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The final way we can keep ourselves on the narrow path is to get busy turning the world upside down with evangelism and bringing the lost to Christ. You know, I like at the beginning of Acts 17, Paul and Silas is with him, but Paul was explaining the scriptures and sharing the death, the burial, and resurrection with them. He was sharing Christ crucified to the audience. And as they listened, some were persuaded. But the Jews, they became jealous. So much so that they formed a mob and started to search so they could capture them. But they couldn't find them. And they ended up at the house of Jason. And who the mob had accused Jason of harboring them. And Paul and Silas, who they thought were heathens. And I like in verse 6 how the mob describes Paul and Silas. And they say, these men who turn the world upside down. Does the gospel mean so much to you that you are willing to turn the world upside down as you share it with others? You know, as a church here in Roswell that are devoted to followers, we can change the world upside down. My final point for us to remember is that this spiritual journey that we are on has no stopping point. It's eternal. There is eternity for the saved and the unsaved. For the unsaved, it is an eternity of fire and brimstone. But for the saved, we can have confidence in a heavenly promise. Ephesians 1, 13, 14. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. We must have the spirit of pressing on every moment while we're stepping down the path of the narrow way. And as you travel down this spiritual journey, and you consider the things I mentioned this morning, ask yourself, am I building my life on the rock of Jesus and his principles? Do I die to self and live for Christ? Do I show him honor and love with a pure heart, willing to fully submit to his commandments? When the road gets long and I feel discouragement, where do I look for strength? Is it in godly things or worldly things around me? And finally, am I pressing on? And am I thirsting for the truth where I have the willingness and striving to turn the world upside down in evangelism for Christ, knowing that there are an eternity to this journey? And I want to spend it there in that beautiful place, heaven, with him. If you find that you are not walking on the narrow way, and you have made choices in your life that have put roadblocks in your way, you can change that today. You can begin this spiritual journey with him as you confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and then be buried in his blood through the waters of baptism. But it doesn't end there. This is only the beginning. You can begin a new walk with Jesus that will afford you all the blessings he has to offer. And that final one, that final resting place, heaven. I offer the opportunity now for you to start this journey. And if you want to know more about it, you can come talk with me or one of the members here. Or if you need to respond now, you can come forward now. Or if we're about to sing a couple of songs and you feel like you need to come forward, please come forward now and start that beautiful, wonderful, spiritual journey at this time. Now we will have two songs, and if you need to respond during those two songs, come forward. We plead with you. So we'll have Robert lead the songs now.